And there you have it. You are not alone. You are with me tonight. If you're listening, hi, welcome to The Road to Recovery. I'm your host, Dan Chuba. And I'm coming to you live from the offices of Daniel & Associates Real Estate in West Chicago. That towering building, it's one story, actually. You know what? We're just having some fun. Because it really doesn't matter where we're coming to you from. The fact is that you're not alone, and I'm not alone, and nobody is alone unless they choose to be. Here we are broadcasting this show to the world out of this little office in West Chicago. A lot of people don't even know West Chicago is. It's a suburb of Chicago, about 30 miles west of the lakefront. Probably of State Street. I think that's the main street. But whatever, it doesn't really matter at this point. What matters is that if you are tuning in, thank you, and I hope we have something of merit to share with you here today on the show. I am alone, as far as I know. I don't know that anybody is going to be joining me tonight. Steve has been unbelievably taking wonderful care of his wife, Orlando, and man, all I could say is I'm proud of him. You know, if he's got things to do, just like anybody, if you have things to do, do them, okay? Take care of what's important in your life, you know? You shouldn't make an excuse and say, well, I couldn't do that because I had to do this. You don't have to do anything. If nothing else, this program of recovery has taught us it's all about choices, and we have lots of choices. So those of us and those of you who feel like or felt like victims, get over it, you know? Start choosing a different choice. And yes, you can choose not to be a victim. You can be victimized. It happens, okay? It happens to good people. It happens to people all over the world. Okay? But don't become a victim, okay? Continuing ongoing victim. Get over it. I am really tired. I got to tell you something. I'm going to be yawning all night on this program, okay? And we don't have a mute button. So if I yawn, excuse me, because I have just been running like crazy. You know, the lovely Miss Martha, my fiance, is coming home from California. She flew out to California last Thursday morning, and I had the privilege of getting up early and getting her to the airport before 6:15 so she can get on a flight. And I, for those of you that know me, and if you don't know me, you'll get a handle on it right now, I do not like to stop dreaming until about 7:30, if need be. So, yes, I got up early, and, you know, you can't go back to bed. You come home, and, you know, you just got off, you know, the expressway. In fact, I even missed my exit, which was kind of funny. I missed the exit. So I drove an extra, I don't know, 3 or 4 miles, 5 miles, whatever, it happens. And stuff happens. What can you say? It happens. But, and then the next day, I got up early to go golfing with my friend Marvin, who, by the way, his daughter got married over the weekend. Congratulations to you, Marvin, and to your wife and to your daughters. I hope they have a good life, you know, and you have a good family. Marvin's a good guy. Enjoy hanging out with him. A little wacky at times, but then again, who isn't? And I know that I am, so it happens to the best of us. By the way, this is a live broadcast. It is, tonight is August 5th of 2018, August 5th, 2018, which means what? It means I'm counting down to 23 years. I have 22 years, 11 months, and 5 days of continuous sobriety as of today, but who's counting? Oh, yeah, thank you, all the audience, and wonderful applause, you know. You know what? And it's fun. I'm making fun. But you know what? I count every day. I'm very grateful for each day I have alive on this earth and another day of being sober. So, yeah. Hey, hey, hip, hip, hooray. And now that I'm sitting here thinking about it, you know, I'm feeling tired and beat. And I agreed to pick up the lovely Miss Martha coming in tomorrow night, which means I need to be able to pick her up around 6:15, which means I've got to leave the house about 5:45. Oh, my God. In the morning. Oh. She could have taken a taxi, but what the heck. I agreed to to pick her up. And, well, I thought maybe I'd want her seeing my smiling face when she pulled in, when she came off the plane or whatever, got picked up. Instead of her friend, the taxi driver, whatever his name is, a good guy, good taxi driver, but I thought I'd do it. Of course, I'll probably be half asleep, and I shaved off my mustache. I guess I'm really keen. In the 2.5 years that the lovely Miss Martha has known me, she has never seen me without my mustache, so I'm going to wonder. There's only been like 2 or 3 people that noticed, and you know what's funny is the ones that noticed were people in the program that said something to me. Yes, absolutely, positively. Guess what? Yeah, I got to tell you, man, it was kind of fun. And again, feel free to call in 323-580-5755 if you have a comment or anything like that. Unfortunately, I don't think Steve hooked up the program to a live broadcast, so good luck trying to find it if you are. And if you don't and you're listening to this on a rebroadcast, all I can say is I'm sorry. It is not the easiest thing for us to do all the time is link this show up. So that's all I could say. You know what? You know, in fact, Fred McMurray, who is the chief bottle washer with Linked Local Network, Fred told me he was in town. And guess what? I got to meet the infamous Fred McMurray. Oh, my God. Yeah, after 6 years, over 6 years on this broadcast, I finally got to see the guy at the top of the leaderboard. And Fred has, what, 38,000 followers on Twitter, and which means nothing to me because I don't twit or tweet. And, yeah, I don't know. He's going to try to set up his own broadcast, I guess. Because we go through Blog Talk Radio, and I got to tell you something. Whoever set it up did a nice job setting it up, okay, but there's no help. And it's like the blind calling out and crying out to the blind. They just, it's very hard to get any kind of response from them and any help. So Fred's thinking he wants to create his own broadcast. How that's going to happen and how's it going to work, I don't know. But what he did say is that we will probably be rerunning over and over a lot of our shows, okay? They will be rebroadcast, and I think the program and the broadcast system is going to run 24/7. So it'll be interesting to see what's happening. We're going to find out in the next few weeks. So if you have questions, comments, if you're used to calling, seeing us on Blog Talk Radio and we're gone, well, stuff happens. So write the number down because we'll probably have a new one. And call it when you can. And if you need my number, it's area code 630-918-6129. And I'd be glad to help out in any way, shape, or form I can if you are struggling with an addiction. And you know what? Tonight we're going to talk about addictions, but I want to do a quick review because last week we had the lovely Miss Martha. That's my fiance. And, you know, we talked about love. The topic was love and love with addictions. And the reason why I brought that up and I talked about it, I don't know if we got covered everything we wanted to, because it's hard when you get other people in here, you take a direction, then it goes whatever direction, you just keep following it. But what it was reminding me was that before I found this program of recovery, and most of my life, I was looking for love. And I didn't know what love was. I didn't know what a healthy love was. For me, love was what you found in the backseat of a car, you know, with a woman, and or wherever you can grab a few moments of intimacy. And that closeness was like a junkie fix for me. It was unbelievably sought out, and when it was happening, it was great. But when it was over, it was so empty. It was so hollow. It left me struggling, in a sense. And, you know, I got to say, I realized that, it was an addiction. It's an addiction, you know. Sex, pornography is an addiction. You know, scoping out pornography. I can't say that I really look at pornography today at all, actually. Not hardly. I mean, every once in a while I might glimpse at a nude person, mostly women. Only women. What am I talking? Mostly women. Only women. Okay. Men, don't do it for me. Okay, but if it does for you, that's your business. Okay, but yeah, I really don't have any subscriptions to magazines or anything on that line, so that's not a big thing for me. You know, it was a big thing for me chasing women and looking for Mrs. Goodbar, I guess. You know, looking for love. I grew up in a family of 13 kids. That's right, I had parents, so that made 15 of us. There were seven boys and six girls. And, you know, we lived in a bungalow in Chicago that the girls lived in a half-finished portion of the attic. It was one of those old bungalows that was a walk-up. So my folks finished it, or it was finished when they bought it. And it had a kitchen and a living room and a bedroom and a bathroom on the second, you know, on the second floor. And the girls lived up there, and they were away from the rest of the family. And in the basement, which was above-ground basement, it wasn't like a basement today all the way in the ground. It was halfway above the ground. So, you know, they had windows that were above ground. You could just climb right out. And the boys lived in a half-finished portion of the basement. And the second portion of the basement was pretty much a laundry area. For all the people, my mom had quite a little operation set up down there for washing clothes. My dad was a auto mechanic, so he always had dirty, grungy overalls, which my mom had figured out a way to get them clean. And then the rest of us, and it was funny how clothing evolved, because you know we went to Catholic schools on the south side of Chicago. We went to a church called St. Camillus, and you know the fashion of the day at St. Camillus was, you know, you had a white shirt and a tie, and you had slacks, dark blue slacks, whatever. And for us, what was challenging was finding clothing like that, number one, that was clean, number one, that we could wear and fit into, and, you know, that was, you know, again, clean, because we had to wear the clothing for several days because, you know, it was a lot of work for my mom to clean laundry, do laundry. Now, for the most part, the girls would help my mom out with the laundry from time to time. I'm not going to say that was a chore and an assignment, but for them it was more or less that's what they did, simply because the boys, on the other hand, we were drafted into service at my dad's auto repair business. And what we did was we would go there and, you know, well, back in the days when there was an automotive repair business, you pumped gas for the clients. You checked their air and their tires. Remember the old balloon, the inner tubes? They had cars with tires and inner tubes. The tubeless tires was not even heard of at that time. We checked the oil on a car because cars burned a lot of oil. We had to fill them. Checked the brake fluid and the radiator. We washed the windows. It was as I say, full service. And the boys in my family, i.e. myself, my brother John, I had three older brothers and three younger brothers, okay? I had two older sisters and four younger sisters. Again, the girls were pretty much absent in our lives growing up, except for mealtime, when we all met on the main floor and we had dinner together. And then after mealtime, you know, we had the chores divvied up, okay, and then the everybody would go their way. You know, the girls would go back upstairs, the guys, if they went downstairs, they did, or they went outside, or actually a lot of times they were drafted again to go to the auto repair garage because we were free help, and we had a responsibility, supposedly, and an obligation to help my father out, run his business, and we did. And, you know, we did over a period of time, and it was a nonstop thing. We, you know, it got to the point where, you know, you just were expected to show up at the auto repair business. That was it. That was the guy's responsibility, and, you know, there was not a debate at all about it. You just did what you were told to do. And that was it. That's how life was for us back in those days. You know, when they told you to jump, you said, "How high are we jumping today, Mom and Dad?" That's how life was. It's not like today where kids are given so many choices. You know, and do we sound a little jealous? Damn it, yes, we were. I don't know about you, but, hey, I'm a little jealous of all those little kids that don't have to be responsible and they could do whatever they want. I don't know if that's a good thing. I certainly didn't feel the way my folks raised us was a good thing in a good way because there was far too much violence that was involved in rearing us. And, well, and that's never any way to deal with and work with loved ones is to, you know, physically abuse them. And that's what my dad did. My dad drank and he abused us. You know, he worked hard, you know, to raise us and give us a house and a roof over our heads and food in our stomachs. I will say that I don't believe we ever ran. I don't think we ever starved. We probably didn't get all the food that we would have liked to. And you know, sure, you know, there's always an interest in more chow, you know. But on the other hand, maybe it was a good thing that we didn't eat all that food because, you know, I somehow managed to stay in fairly good shape today, and I'm proud of my physique. You know, it's not the greatest one, but it certainly has a lot more on the ball than some of my friends and cohorts in similar situations. And, you know, they're, you know, I look at people and I watch and I try to compare and you know, I feel good about who I am. I'm in fairly good shape. So there were some perks and benefits that were gotten living, working with my father and my family and so on and so forth. You know, it certainly could have been a whole lot worse than it was. And it wasn't worse. It was just very grueling. Okay, and I wouldn't have recommended it to anybody, no. Because, you know what, at that age, young age, I mean, sure, at first it was fun to go into the garage. You know, I think one of the highlights was going up and down on the hoist. And for those of you, excuse me, that don't know what a hoist is, but that's what lifted the car up so that the mechanic could get underneath it and see what repairs or maintenance needed to be done. We as kids like going up in it, except we didn't want to stay there forever. And so once we got up, then we wanted to come down and, you know, then we go, "Hey, can we come down?" And they're like, "No, you can't come down because now you're up there, you're stuck up there." And it's like, "Wait a minute, what happened here? How did that happen?" You know, but that's just the way things were. Just, it was, you know, I can't imagine what it would be like today with kids wanting to go up and down on the hoist. They would probably, you know, drive everybody crazy going, "Really? You want to keep going up and down on this hoist?" I think not. That would be a draw a line to, you know, where it would be. So, yeah, just a whole bunch of crazy. So, listen, you know, I got a comment about last night. I went to an open speaker meeting, and I don't know if you know my friend Ronnie, but we had talked about Ronnie many times, and Ronnie's been on the show, and you know, well, Riley's been, was, I'm not going to say he is anymore, but he was a pretty active part of life for a while there. And I will say he was around a lot. And today, I don't have a lot to do with Ron, only because he's got other things going on in his life, as do I. And that's okay. We're good with it. But I will say, Ronnie took over the open speaker meeting last night at Anona West. And I got to tell you, I would like to just stand up and everybody join me in applauding. What an outstanding and wonderful job Ronnie did, has been doing, from what I understand, with the open speaker meeting. I ran that meeting for, oh gosh, how many, for a year and a half. And I think my highest number of people there was maybe 20, which is still good. Hey, as long as one person comes, that's good. Ronnie, on the other hand, last night there was over 40 people. And in reviewing what he was doing to get that many people there, I was talking to one of the members that have been there a long time, longer than me, actually, longer than my 22 years, 23 years, and he said when he heard how he was running the meetings, you know, Ronnie was running the meetings, he was upset at first, but had the wisdom to let it go and look and see what happened. And Ronnie has been running and having two people speak in one evening, and it works. And you know what? That's one really good thing about alcoholics, man. You know what? They are smarter than hoot, okay? They really are smarter than hoot. You give them a job and an opportunity and a responsibility, and they run with it. Really, they run with it to the point where, you know, you don't even know what they're doing here. And I got to tell you something, pretty amazing, what he did. And, you know, now I hope it is having the impact that I would like it to. And, well, in God's time is what we'll say. And what that means is that I hope that Ronnie is getting the program. Okay? Because you can be in the program and it doesn't mean you're getting the program. Okay? It doesn't mean you are getting it. It just means you're in the program. And Ron's been in the program a long time, and I'm hoping he's getting it, that it's becoming a part of his life. And, well, hopefully it will. I saw him writing things down. He was commenting. And you know what? It's just like this show. It's all about me, okay? If you guys get something out of this program listening to me, good for you, okay? But it's just all about me and my sobriety and my need for to get out of my head and to stay sober. And not only stay sober, because being sober is one thing, and that's the most important thing I got to do every day, is stay sober. That's the same thing, guys. That's the one thing that you need to do in the world today, and that is to stay sober. If we stay sober, we have a chance of having great life, because you know what? Every day sober is just a wonderful day in the neighborhood, okay? It really is. And I got to tell you, that's what we want to do, is have many wonderful days in our neighborhood, okay? And so keep that in mind. You know, however you do it, okay? The program of Alcoholics Anonymous, by the way, which this show is somewhat patterned on, but it is not supported, endorsed, you know, recommended even. I don't know. Maybe they do. Who knows? I think any program that works for people, you know, should be meritorious of listening to, you know, and you'd have to hope that people are getting something of value out of what we're saying here. But, you know, again, there's no guarantee. And, you know, the program says that, you know, they want us to be anonymous with our sobriety. And there are really good sound reasons for that, and we've seen many, you know, in the past when people – I'm not a spokesperson, by the way, for alcoholism, Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm a spokesperson for Dan, okay, for me personally, okay? I have a thinking disease, and my best thinking got me drinking. That's how I handled my issues in life growing up. When I found out that I can get buzzed, well, I didn't have to stay responsible all the time. I could disappear and escape into my buzz world. And you know what? It was a fun place to hang out. And the tougher life got on the outside, well, the more I searched for this happy place inside of my head brought on by the euphoric pleasures of alcohol. And while it brought me pleasure at that time, over time, it changed. And it stopped bringing me pleasure, and it started bringing me issues and grief and all kinds of crazy stuff in my life, which I finally had to say enough is enough is enough. I had to, you know, say I can't do this anymore because this is not really good and conducive to the kind of living and life that I wanted. But you know what? It got to the point where I didn't know how to stop. I didn't know how to stop it. I told myself I could and that I could control it and handle it. And that was goofy because I couldn't and I knew it. And yet, who wants to admit to something they can't do, especially like that? And it was definitely me. I was not in the mood to explain to anybody that alcohol had taken over and consumed my life and that I was afraid to not have alcohol in my life. You know, I really was. I was very afraid. Be very afraid. And I was very afraid because, you know, it became a constant source of, I won't say pleasure, but there was a degree of pleasure there at one time, and it did get lost over a period of time, and, you know, it stopped being fun. It stopped being pleasurable. And, well, I got to tell you, it started really screwing up things in my life, having alcohol in it. Alcohol, they say, is cunning, baffling, powerful. And one more thing that they don't include always, and that it's patience. It's patient. It's very, very patient. You know, I'm looking at newspaper clips, okay? And I got to tell you something. Totally amazes me, you know, what goes on here. I'm going to read from the Daily Herald. This one is from August 4th, yesterday, Saturday. And it goes on to talk about drug abuse, mental well-being, top concerns. And I got to tell you something. I have a mental disease. My disease is a thinking problem. And my thinking, again, got me drinking. I self-medicated. Okay? So DuPage County, Impact DuPage, a group, releases results of a survey on health priorities. And I haven't read it, but I'm going to read it now with you. Okay? And I'm going to get on my spectacles. You know what? We might be doing this live. So at some point, you might get to see me doing this live. I don't know if it's going to scare the hell out of you. Certainly may scare the hell out of me. Drug abuse and mental health problems rank as the two most important health concerns in DuPage County, according to a recent survey of residents. The survey was conducted by Impact DuPage, a group of community organizations committed to creating a common understanding of local needs, gaps, and priorities that will advance the well-being of county residents. The poll of 1,577 people was conducted between February and April as part of Impact DuPage's 2018 community assessment. Part of the whole process for Impact DuPage is to get the community voice, said Karen Ayala, executive director of the DuPage Health Department and the co-chairwoman of the Impact DuPage Steering Committee. We want the factors and priorities that are important to our residents so we can create a responsive framework. According to the survey results released Friday, the three most important health concerns in DuPage are drug abuse, 44%, mental health, 43%, and too much screen time technology use, 21%. Excuse me. Survey respondents also listed the top three risky behaviors in DuPage to be drug abuse, 58%, alcohol abuse, 34%, and too much screen time, technology use, 30%. Now, just between you and I, 58, 34, and 30 equal 112. So how did that happen? The other one, 44, 43, that's 87, 97, 98. And the other one, 98%. So I don't know, that one kind of got a little mixed up, but who knows. The fact that residents are concerned about drug abuse and mental health problems doesn't surprise Ayala. There's an increasing recognition, not only across DuPage County, but across the country, that behavioral health issues impact and influence the health of a community, Ayala said. So I think it is something that we're coming to grips with as a country. DuPage in recent years have been trying to combat the opioid crisis, okay? The opioid crisis, people. Finally, we're talking more about it. Let's see. In May, the county announced it has contributed $100,000 to kickstart two new projects. Half the money will be used to develop a substance use treatment navigation system to help individuals seeking treatment for opioid use disorder. The other half will be used to start a specialty drug court for first-time offenders. When asked where the community should focus its attention to make things better, in DuPage survey respondents most supported access to mental health treatment, 33%, and access to alcohol and drug abuse treatment, 25%. Ayala said, it's heartening to see those results because it shows the community as a whole recognizes that treatment facilities are needed, okay? It's up to government leaders and providers to address the very complex issues of where to locate these facilities, she said. Ayala said one surprise in the survey results was that 22% of the respondents indicated a need for affordable housing in DuPage. It's one of those issues that's gaining attention across the country, Ayala said. She added the discussion is about how communities need to be intentional, focused, and strategic in how they weave together mixed-income housing. The survey was one of four methods used to gather data for the 2018 community assessment, including a meeting of dozens of community stakeholders. Then, in June and July, the Impact DuPage Steering Committee met to identify strategic issues to address over the next 3 years that will advance the well-being of the community. Based on the data collected from the countrywide assessment, the top three strategic issues and the questions guiding them are, ready, health status improvement, how do we build a person-centered model of healthcare that is efficient and effective, creates meaningful access to care for all, and demonstrably improves health status. Number two, affordable housing. How do we develop affordable housing that meets the demographic profile of the county? And number three, behavioral health. How do we strengthen prevention and treatment behavior issues for residents of DuPage County? Now, the steering committee will work with local coalition to develop help action plans for 2019 through 2021. Oh, my gosh, that was a week ago, right? Wasn't that? Yep. No, that was yesterday, actually. Okay. You know, and that's not even why I got the newspaper. I didn't bring the newspaper to bring up that issue. I did see it there, and I figured, what the hell, we'll talk about it. However, there's so many different issues. You know, like here, Arlington Racetrack, okay? Arlington Racetrack, did we include, you know, betting on horses as an addiction? You know, I met a gentleman this week who came into, I don't know if it was this week or last week, but he came into my office, and I have an empty building that used to be a restaurant, and there's signs on it for rent, and it has created a lot of imagination because a lot of people like the old business to come back. It was the old Luigi's, and there's new ideas, and this gentleman came in and said that he wanted to open a barbecue place for barbecue ribs, chicken ribs and fish, which I got to tell you something, sounded good to me, okay? But in the course of it, he told me that he had done this many times before, and he was very successful. And yet, when I asked him how much money he had on his person, he was broke. He didn't have money. What he wanted me was to front him the building for the next 20, no, not 20, 1 year for free. And then hopefully when he's ready to open it, that he would open it and pay a stipend less, half the rent that I'm requesting. And then after the second year, raise it up, and then after the third year, we would talk about what direction we wanted to see it continue to go. And while I applaud the imagination of this gentleman, you know, in today's world, setting up a business isn't quite that easy. And even I'm learning that. You know, running by the seat of our pants, you know, when I was an alcoholic actively involved in my drinking, I never gave thought to the rules. They had rules, and I thought they were meant to be broken, or they were applying to everybody but me. And lo and behold, I was surprised as I woke up realizing that I was being held accountable to the same rules as everybody else. Oh, my gosh. Now, there was a time when I was young enough that I could, I don't know, bullshit, talk my way out of tickets, issues, whatever. Doesn't happen like that anymore today. That's the sad reality of the fact is that there are rules and that should be followed, and they apply to me too. And, oh my gosh, I got something here that I was put. I found the box with the clock. I'm sitting here playing with my desk, by the way, boys and girls. Talk about, I have a T-shirt that says, I have attention deficit. Hey, what's that? Can I play with it? You know, I have attention deficit disorder. And I am easily distracted by stuff, right? Stuff. So, okay. So what was I saying? I found the clock that I've been meaning to send out to Jeremy, or whatever his name was, I'm so sorry, on the West Coast. And I will send it to him one of these days, now that I found it and realize it's to be sent out. Okay. But, yeah. Let's see. Road to recovery. Clock. Okay. Yeah, we're talking about what the county's doing and what they're identifying and recognizing. That's getting worse and worse. You know, we read some of these DUI things on the air, and the people that are killed and hurt and maimed, it's sad. It really is sad. In today's world, it's almost impossible to drive on the road sober, let alone, or, you know, drinking. It's impossible, let alone sober. It's challenging enough, and it is. It's very challenging to drive on the road today sober. Where's my trash bin? There it is, way under the desk. Got to bring it over here. Okay, what I was talking about and bringing it up to your attention was the article about the Arlington racetrack. You got this beautiful Arlington Park racetrack, and it's amazing what they will do to get people to come out and watch the horse races and encourage you to bet. Now, you know, not everybody is caught up in an addiction. Okay, there are people that actually can drink and not necessarily get drunk. Okay, and those people are few. Well, I don't know. I don't want to say that they're few and far between, because I believe that there's more than a few, and I believe they're more than far between. But, you know, on the other hand, you know, not everybody can do it. Not everybody can gamble and not, you know, get in trouble. You know, my friend, I mentioned to you, I had a friend who is struggling with the addiction of gambling. I've recently called her and have not heard back from her. You know, I hope she's doing okay. It's just sad, you know, that she is one of those people that cannot gamble, you know. She gets going, and she cannot literally stop. She doesn't, until she's out of money. literally she's out of money, and then she stops. And by that time, then the rude awakening comes, and the fact is that she has no more money. And what is she going to do? She's got to eat. She's got to pay bills. She has no money to do that. And then she's got to explain to her husband what happened to all the money. That's not a good thing. Could you imagine, you know, not only trying to explain to your husband, but trying to explain for your family that you spent all your money, all the family money, gambling and losing. So here is Arlington on the main page of the DuPage or the Daily Herald. And I don't know what kind of financial impact that racetrack has on. I'm sure life would go on if there wasn't racing. But this old man who wanted to run this barbecue place with great idea said he had great food. Sure it was. However, he's got no money. And in talking to him, he plays the ponies. But he was clear to tell me that he wasn't addicted to it, to gambling. He just liked to play the ponies. And I'm like, where, you have no money, yet you're playing the ponies. Okay, that sounds like when I was drinking, I had no money to pay my bills, but I was still drinking. Okay, they were even trying to, this Arlington Park, by the way, Arlington Park wants to live in the now. That means they want machines and races to bet on only that are live instead of old ones. I can't believe people would bet on an old race and then find out that you bet on the losing horse and that the whole world knew it was a loser except you. Good God. But the reason why I brought this newspaper, not so much for the Arlington racetrack, which says that they need to do something and be allowed to provide more gambling options because they are struggling. I don't know that the world will end if the Arlington racetrack went out of business, okay? I really don't think so, okay? Do you? Do you think? What is your thoughts? Should we continue to allow gambling casinos? Do they bring that much revenue to the schools, to the churches, to the communities, as they say they do? Or do they even bring any, and do they say they do? What do I know, right? I don't know that for a fact, people. But we hear it. We hear it quite a bit and a lot. And so who knows what, right? Who knows what? So that's a great topic. If you would like to join in and give me your thoughts on that, I'd love to hear what you had to say about that, you know, and maybe liven up the show a little bit. That would be really nice to get the show on the road, the really big show, the really big show. Remember that from, Ed Sullivan, really big show, really big show. You know, and you had to hand it to those people that put these really big shoes on because, you know, they were a lot of work and it was, you know, breaking territory, you know, that it wasn't broken in the past. So, oh my, let's see here. Well, I don't know. Does anybody have any thoughts, any opinions about any of this? You just okay with me talking about them and nobody wants to chide in and offer a second opinion or any kind of opinion for that matter? It'd be interesting to hear what you had to say about stuff like that. You know, anything that's going on in the world today, it's always a total fascination for me and for anybody I'm sure that's listening. You want to hear what's shaking in the world? We'd love to have you call in. Area code 323-580-5755 here on the Road to Recovery on August 5th, 2018. Okay? And, give us your thoughts. We'd like to hear what you have to think, what you have to say. Otherwise, it's going to be me, continuing on, right? I want to go back to the main cover of the, I got ahead of myself here. So, when you were listening to me talk about DuPage pointing out what issues were, We heard drug abuse, alcohol abuse, and what was it? What did they call it? They called it video distraction. Let's see. Where is it? Three. Too much screen time technology use. How about that? Okay, so that was August 4th. What this newspaper was from July 31st, and on the bottom right, and I'm going to give credit to Ramsen Kasha, special to the Daily Herald, who wrote this article. But video game disorder can be a real addiction. You know, I saw people posting videos on the internet, on Facebook, because, you know, I watch Facebook a lot. I'm one of the old fogies that watches Facebook, you know. I don't know what other people watch. Some people are Snapchat. I mean, there's so many different places. And as soon as you get one, then you move on to the next one, because what? You're going to hear different, better, sounder information. Have no idea, none at all, of what's going on and why it is going on. But, okay. The video game disorder can be a real addiction. If you're a parent of school-age kids, you may have had the same occasional thought I have. Is that all you do all day, play video games? Clearly, I don't remember gaming nearly as often when I was their age. But back then, video games weren't as intense, immersive, and social as they are today. We enjoyed Nintendo. And we definitely didn't feel we had a disorder or were addicted to playing these games. I was, okay. Man, there were times I lost days playing those stupid games, okay, because I could. I was an adult that could do whatever I wanted to do, and I did. And I played those stupid video games, and I paid a consequence for it because things didn't get done. And, you know, you got to get things done if you're running a business of sorts or whatever. And I can remember this guy who had a pizza place across from me. I was just reminiscing about this with somebody the other day. And the thing about it was that he would come over with a pitcher of beer that he poured out of the tap, and we would sit here at my office, not here, at the office I was at, right across the street from him, and we would just play these stupid video games just nonstop, and until his wife actually put her foot down. She was just, like, really mad when she found out what we were doing. She was like, hey, that's just not cool. And fortunately for him, that he had somebody that, you know, could run guard over their lives, and me, I just kept doing what I wanted, and drinking, and gambling, and playing video games, and doing all kinds of stuff. Boy, was I caught up in that addiction, huh? Oh, my gosh. Okay. Now, the World Health, I have to turn to the page. The World Health Organization, okay, there it is. Turn to page. I think it's 9. On the page. 8. No, it is 9. Very good. Very good, because I don't have 7, 8, 6, whatever. Okay, the World Health Organization recently declared video gaming disorder a mental health condition. As someone in the addiction treatment field, this declaration gave me pause to consider the seriousness of video game disorders. What does it mean exactly when an organization like WHO makes a statement like this about gaming, and what does it reflect about addiction and perhaps society in general? Most people play video games and smartphone-based games as well. And I'm going to tell you something. I am addicted to playing games, okay? I play them all the time, okay? I somehow managed to get my work done, though, and that's important. I could probably get a whole lot more done and be more focused, but I don't know. I make the excuse, just like I did for alcohol and just like I did for cigarettes when I smoked cigarettes, that it relaxed me and I needed it because I worked so hard and the harder you work, the more fun you should be able to and entitled to play. And yeah, that's the goofy belief system that we have when we're caught up in addictions. You know, we want to make sure that nobody takes away our fun time, and they would if they could, because it's probably a good and smart thing for us. But will I do it? Probably not, because you know what? I am the boss, and the boss has some privileges. And so far, I still haven't seen total neglect of my responsibilities. I still am the top dog here selling real estate, but you know, it does cut into other aspects of my life, and I will admit that. So, something to think about, boys and girls, you know, when we're talking about things like that, okay, is it a good thing? No, it's not. And we're talking about all these problems that DuPage County has. Well, you know, that's part of what they were trying to say, is the videos were the part that was really affecting us, because we were just not getting done what we're supposed to get done. Kids dropping out of school, before, during, after school, nobody doing what they're supposed to. It's just terrible. Okay, so, most people play video games and smartphone app-based games as well without any notable negative consequences. Maybe notable is a key word here. Maybe it's not as notable, but it's there, and maybe it is definitely a problem that, you know, nobody's really addressed and should address on a regular basis, and maybe, who knows, maybe it will get addressed in a proper manner, and, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. But I got to tell you something, it's a very interesting thing. You know, we're talking about addiction to video games, etc., and is it really addiction? Well, you know, it depends on who you talk to. There are people that will tell you that it is not an addiction, it is not a problem, and what is everybody making a big deal out of it? But you know what? The proof and the truth comes from the people specifically, you know, whatever, open your mouth and open wide and all that other stuff, you know? Let's see here. I'm dragging here, folks. I'm dragging. Okay. Sorry about that. Do we have anybody calling in? Area code 323-580-5755. I'm going to watch the phones for the next couple 5 minutes. If you guys want to call in, that'd be great. Say hello to Danny Boy. Okay, you can go on the air or not, but then if you don't, you will probably get pulled on the air because I have nobody to work the phones anyway. Okay, so the majority of people, it might be difficult to understand why some people, some others, simply can't put the controller down, but that's no different from any source of addiction. Many people can drink alcohol, for example, without consequence, but a significant minority can't. Yeah, and I got to tell you something, that's a real broad statement. How true it is, I don't know. I don't know if people can do that without consequences. I think there are consequences all the time for things that are taking place. And you may not have a DUI. You may not have something else that may affect your life, but maybe you don't have time to get on the floor and play with your kids. Maybe you don't find the need to take your family out on the town and maybe camping or something fun that would put them in touch with something or someone. No, see, that's the problem. We don't do that. We think of ourselves, and that's what happens when we start to drink. We start thinking only of ourselves and not about other people, and that can be and oftentimes is a problem. Okay, so, you know, you may not see it and may not think that you have a problem in the sense of, and maybe you don't, but on the other hand, you know, if you don't have time for your kids or your family, isn't that a problem? I really think it is. You know, coming from, and, you know, we had my friend Dean on the air last couple weeks ago. Okay, I was just listening to the rebroadcast. And one of the things that Dean pointed out that I don't know if you guys picked up on, for those of you that actually listened to the show, but Dean pointed out that his family never spent any time with him doing any kind of things, nothing at all. And he was pretty clear not wanting to indict his parents on, you know, things that they couldn't have been or didn't do a good job raising him. Well, you know, he felt their love, I guess, and it showed up different ways and different shapes. But, again, my friend Dean just said it was a problem. It really was a problem because nobody was there to focus on and spend time with him, right? That's too bad, isn't it? It really is. That's what this stuff does. It just sucks the life out of you. Okay, so let's see. Addiction is not so much about how many drinks you have, how many drugs you use, or how many video games you play. It's not even about drugs or games per se. It's about people and health. It's about our brain's reward system and how some are genetically and environmentally conditioned to pursue a reward more compulsively than others. The real marker for addiction is continued use of behavior in spite of negative consequences. Compulsions that hold people back from the things they really value. I was listening to HLN, you know, whatever that station is on the radio, Sirius Radio, and they were talking about this police officer who helped try to find criminals who created rapes and things, and it turns out he was probably the number one rapist. Now, you've got to have a sickness in order to do that. He was convicted of raping 6 women, okay, over whatever period of time, and he admitted to it, and he got 6 life sentences, 6 of them, life sentences for doing that. Tell me it's not an addiction, especially when you're a cop and you know that that's wrong. Sorry, I'm drinking. I'm having some Simply Mixed Berry drink. Very tasty. Not from concentrate. Okay, I don't know where it came from. Maybe they ground it up in the backyard. Okay. The real marker for addiction is continued use or behavior in spite of negative consequences, compulsions that hold people back from the things they really value. Really, think about it. What do you value, folks? If you are not achieving what things you value, think about what's causing an obstacle, a block in your life. That wouldn't be very good. You know, for me, what got me in this program is that, you know, 22 years, 11 months, and 5 days ago, but who's counting? Love. My heart hurt. I thought I had found love, and I didn't. On the 3rd marriage and the umpteenth relationship. And I was tired of blaming them. I knew that they weren't well, and I'm talking about my significant others, but at some point, you have to stop and look at yourself and say, when am I going to accept responsibilities for the nutty and crazy things that I'm doing in my life that are creating a bunch of this crazy-ass stuff, and what am I going to do to stop it? When am I going to get my life and my act together to stop doing all these crazy things and, you know, get my life together? Yup, yup. Get my life together, dirtle. Okay. You know, at some point, we have to grow up. And drizzle, trazzle, throzzle, throne. Time for this one to come home. You know, I always laugh because that always reminded me of a degree of recovery. You know, you have to recover. You have to, you know, get back to the realities of the world. Get back to, you can't stay in, you know, la-la land all your days. You know, it just, you can't. it's not even feasible. It's not even practical. It's not even doable, okay? But yet, you know, a lot of times that's where we see these people with addictions and where they want to be and how they want to be. They don't want to be awakened from their buzz, and that's not a good thing, okay? That's not happening. So, all right, we're going to continue to read on. From that perspective, it's easier to see the WHO's rationale, the World Organization, World Health Organization, the WHO's rationale in declaring gaming a mental health condition. And in countries outside the U.S., the problem may indeed be more palpable. While some scoff at the notion of gambling as an addiction, my colleague, Joseph Lee, says the dialogue actually reveals how hardwired our society is to look at addictions in moralistic terms. Okay? We tend to see drug addiction in a moralistic light, good versus bad or weak versus strong, says Lee, the medical director for the Hazelton Betty Ford Foundation's Youth Continuum. Addictions are not addictions. Addictions are addictions not because of morality, but because the compulsive behaviors take over a person's life and prevent them from prioritizing the things they know are really important, like work, family, and relationships. I will agree. Through this lens, I think people can better understand how things like gambling and video games can be addictive. If anything, the dialogue about gaming disorder, okay, in general, reveals more about how stigmatized addiction is in the first place. We don't need research to see the negative impact of gaming in some people's lives. Many of us see it in our own families, where young kids may isolate themselves at the expense of almost everything else life has to offer. Ouch. Yeah. We see intersections between gaming and substance use in the patients we treat too. Gaming by design, like social media, preys on some of the same thinking we see in young people with substance use disorder. Fatalism, impulsivity, and the desire for instant gratification, and much more so than in the past. Someone who grew up with Super Mario Brothers on the original Nintendo can't really comprehend how immersive and alluring video games are today. I don't know about today, but they were pretty immersive back in my days, people. Okay? They really were. The graphics, the social media interface, and the realism all provide a kind of escape that wasn't there in the 80s and 90s. A small percentage video gamers buy most of the video games. A small percentage buy them. Okay, companies know this. In a competitive field, they are constantly enhancing games to get those who play the most to play even more. So we are likely to hear more about gaming disorders and addiction to certain kinds of technologies as time goes on. Whether we call it addiction, a mental health disorder, or anything else, gaming problems are real for some people, and we should be helping them. We need to move beyond the stigma of our diagnostic labels and talk about people and their whole health. When family members take a loved one to the hospital for a mental health condition, they're often sent to the BIC annex. They often have trouble using insurance to pay for the help they need. Okay, and most don't even get that far, failing to see why their loved ones won't simply stop drinking, cheer up, or chill out, or put the controller down. Stigma runs deep when it comes to the problems of the mind, but we need to have this dialogue in our society. And what do I put on my website? Working to bring addictions out of the darkness of denial into the light of acceptance and ultimately recovery. Because that's how it works, boys and girls. Boys and girls, moms and dads. Okay, it's 8:10. I need a break. How about that? Let's get Marilyn Scott to sing her song a few times here, okay? I love this song, The Last Day. sit and enjoy this here on The Road to Recovery. I'm your host, Dan Chuba. We'll be back in a few moments with more live conversation. And you can call in if you'd like.
If today were the last of all days, would it change how you feel, who you are? Would you rise for a moment above all your fears, become one with the moon and the stars? Or would you like what you see looking down? Did you give everything? Have you done everything that you wanted to do? Is there still so much more that you want? Follow your dream to the end of the rainbow, waving your one pot of gold. Open your eyes to the colors around you and find the true beauty. Would you live for the moment like when you were young? As time didn't travel so fast. Be free in the present, enjoying the now. Not tied to a future or past. Follow your dream to the end of the rainbow. Way beyond one. Your eyes to the colors around you and find the true beauty life holds. That we'd only begin to start living our lives if today were the last of all days. If today were the last of all days. If today were the last of all days, would it change how you feel, who you are? Would you rise for a moment above all your fears, become one with the moon and the stars? Or would you like what you see looking down? Did you give everything? Have you done everything that you wanted to do? Is there still so much more that you want? Follow your dream to the end of the rainbow, waving your one pot of gold. we'd only begin to start living our lives. If today were the last of all days. If today were the last.
Gosh, what a beautiful song that is. Marilyn Scott singing The Last of All Days. You're listening to The Road to Recovery live here on Blog Talk Radio, part of the Linked Local Network of Broadcasting Self-Help Programs. I'm your host, Dan Chuba, coming to you live from West Chicago. I'm a recovering alcoholic, 22 years, 11 months, 5 days. Who's counting me? Yay! Okay, I quit smoking cigarettes, too. About a year and a half after I quit drinking, and it's been, I've been smoke-free for over 20 years. That's a great thing. Hip, hip, hooray. From both the physical and health benefits and the financial benefits. If I would not have quit drinking, just so you know, if I would not have quit drinking, okay, I probably would have been dead, number one. My health was failing. I didn't realize it until I actually sobered up. I've got type 2 diabetes, and I'd like to think that was, you know, one of the lesser of the things that I was dealing with, but it was just not a good thing that was happening to me at that time. So I would have been dead. I would have been in prison. I mean, my last ex-wife, with her little escapade out to Washington State, in which I followed her, could have certainly got me put in prison out there for who knows what. Thank God I didn't. And then the last one, I could have been dead. Could have been an option. So glad to be alive, glad to be above ground, glad to be able to do this program, feel compelled to do this program, this broadcast, simply because it helps me. I got to tell you something. I had some really busy days with interacting with a multitude of people. Sometimes I feel like International Danny. And, you know, I'm sure other realtors have similar things going on in their lives. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. All I can say is I know it, and oh my gosh, does it involve me? I'm currently working with a couple that I've worked with before, in all candidness, and so it's not like this is the first time I've worked with them. But, you know, every time I work with them, it's a challenge because they don't speak English. I'm always concerned. I think they have a very good grasp of the English language, but you never know if they can say at some point, gee, Dan, I didn't understand what you were telling me. Why did you do that? Why did you work with me if you, you know, if you're not sure I can understand you? You know, there's a lot of stuff going on there, right there, just in those statements, you know, because you don't know. But you want to give these people service. They're entitled to, you know, a help. And if they wanted to find somebody that speaks their language, well, they're Vietnamese. I don't know how many people do speak Vietnamese, but they do know that I'm trustworthy, I am hardworking, and that I would do my very best to help them out in any way, shape, or form. And if I make a profit on it, it's not a bad thing, right? Because that's what I do for a living. But, you know, my interests and my needs certainly don't come first. They come secondary to everybody else's needs when we're doing this job. And I take that seriously. Plus, since I own the office, I need to lead by example. That's a very important thing to do for everybody and anybody in life, is to lead by example. By the way, if you want to call in, area code 323-580-5755 here on the road to recovery. May your road be, you know, it's not a destination. It isn't. It's a process. It's a day-to-day process. And again, that's why we say the journey into recovery. One day, one step at a time, working the 12 steps, if need be, and having a good life and a better life. And hopefully you will have a good life and a better life. And that's what it's all about, having a good life and a better life. And, you know, the same life that we had without drugs, without alcohol, we can do that. We can have good times. And never knew that, did we? I didn't. I didn't know that you could have a good time sober. I would, you know, I was so used to drinking and finding my good times that way. I just never thought about it from the standpoint of maybe I could have a good time sober. In fact, it was very hard for me to put the drink down when I finally did drink, put it down. And it wasn't for the same reasons that everybody has. Everybody's going to have a different reason why what got them to put down the drink. Mine was that my heart was broken. I was so sad that I was getting another divorce, my third divorce, hopefully never again. If I get married to the lovely Miss Martha, it's my plan. Hopefully we will somehow manage to stay together forever. And, you know, that's what I truly believe that our higher power put us on this earth to do, and to enjoy the company and the companionship of someone in our lives. Okay, I hope you have someone in your life, whether it's a mate, a spouse, maybe it's just a sibling, a parent, maybe just a good friend, and there's no romantic involvement, but you're not alone. You have somebody in your life, and maybe it's a pet. Maybe it's a dog or a cat. God, our God, the higher God, the omnipotent being God, what a creation when he created dogs and cats for us, okay? I think cats was a joke and a humorous thing for us, but definitely the dogs and the cats were just beautiful creatures that just, you know, I mean, I don't know how we could have existed as a society without the dogs and the cats, and the abuse and the challenges that those creatures take when we're not well, and yet they keep coming back, and they're not accusatory, they're not angry, frightened. Yes, they probably are scared of their minds, but they somehow manage to overcome a lot of that stuff with once again reminding them that you do love them and care about them, and that's a good thing, okay? So, right on with all that stuff, okay? So, again, here it is. Just want to remind you that you are, it's a live show. You're welcome to call me, area code 323-580-5755. I will, you know who I haven't heard from in a while is Kenneth. His son bought a house for me, and I haven't heard from anybody since then. I've called them, and nobody's responded. Nobody's returned a call. Maybe they're upset. Maybe they don't like the house they bought. Who knows? I don't want to own it, but I would like to know what's up, and hopefully they do like the house, and hopefully they're having the time of their life, and they just don't have time to call me. But being the alcoholic that I am, I'm always thinking it's the worst-case scenario, right? That's what I do. I think oh, my God, they hate me. They don't want to talk to me anymore. It's just crazy. If you ever have those thoughts, you are certainly not alone, okay? Not alone. And those crazy-ass thoughts. And just because, you know, we have to overcome the challenges of our life and to play up the good things and the good skills, talents, and abilities that we have, while, you know, servicing and taking care of and addressing the shortcomings that we have in our life. And I got to tell you something. Today, I'm so tired. I'm antsy. I'm having a hard time sitting still here. And we're coming up on 8:30. That means we have 30 minutes left for the show. And I got to tell you, folks, I'm thinking I'm pooping out here. And I think I'm going to bail on the show. Unless I get a call in the next 5 minutes from anybody, okay? If I don't, I'm going to go. If I do, then, you know, happy days will bring me home, and I won't be doing this alone by myself. It's a little bit challenging sometimes, And I would love to talk to somebody, anybody that would like to call in. Area code 323-580-5755. Say, just even if they want to just shout out and say hello and kudos. Okay? I do want you always and all to remember to give hugs. I'm amazed at some people who give one-armed hugs. You're afraid that they're going to grab your ass. You're afraid that they're going to be too personal with you. What? Okay? You can stop them. I don't know too many people, especially in crowds, that are going to molest you or mug you just by hugging you. So give them a hug. Enjoy the hug. Enjoy the embrace. You know, make sure you say hello first, okay? First hello and then a hug. Always a good way to go about doing it, okay? And, you know, make that a point and an effort in your life on a day-to-day basis to give out hellos and hugs, okay? I don't know how they work at work because, you know, you tell, give people hugs at work and then you got problems. The next thing you know, you got somebody saying, you know, you shouldn't be doing that, giving hugs out at work. You know, that could be misconstrued. Misconstrued what? Okay? I don't know, but okay. And even if you are grabbing because you think they're cute and adorable, you're not going to do anything right there. Good God. That's going to get you jollies off? Oh, my God. That's just crazy. Okay. All right. Well, it looks like we're going to end the show early today because nobody has called in. Steve, I hope you're doing well. Ken, I hope you're doing well. Dean, well, my significant other, Martha, hope you're safe flight. I will look forward to seeing you tonight or tomorrow morning, half awake. And everybody else, I'm going to be back on the air next week with our special guest, Ryan Elliott, okay, the hypnotherapist, who will be on and talking about how he's going to bring one of his assistants, his new assistant, intern, I believe it's Brandy, or Bridget, or something on that line. And they're going to be talking about how they can help you overcome some of your challenges in life through hypnotherapy. I, for one, will tell you it works. It worked for me. I don't know if you're going to get the same results, but certainly worth trying sometimes. If everything else has not failed, you know, everything else has failed and you haven't been able to get it. So tune in next week. It might be a lot of fun to, you know, join us. It's always fun with Ryan. He's a good guy. He's very smart. He was, I guess, Mensa. We'll have to talk about some of his qualifications and credentials. But without a doubt, very impressive background and things like that. And certainly can help you. Okay, boys and girls, again, I'm going to end the show tonight. Have a great week, unless you have other plans. I am headed to go to bed because I'm tired. And I got to get up early to get the lovely Miss Martha. So, thanks for listening if you did, and if you didn't, well, catch us on the rebroadcast, and catch us next week live. It'll be fun, 7 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio, part of the Link Local Network of Broadcasting, The Road to Recovery, August 12th, okay? And again, that will be Ryan Elliott and his assistant, okay? Good night, everyone. Have a great week, unless you have other plans, and we will talk to you later.